are Locked On Giants, your daily San Francisco Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspic, and I am thrilled to be with you again today. On this show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 to 20 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also simple, passionate, and accessible to all. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get 20% off your next order. Coming up on today's show, we're going to do something that I think is very interesting. We're going to look back at the FanGraphs positional power rankings that we looked at prior to the 2020 season. So these were projections, position by position, looking at how every team fared in a ranked order based on those projections. So for example, the Giants were projected to have the 12th best group of first basemen out of 30 teams. And Brandon Belt, as the everyday first baseman, was projected to have roughly league average offensive production. So we're going to go through position by position as far as we can go today, and then we'll continue this exercise indefinitely until we finish it up. But we're going to compare how did the Giants' projections compare to the rest of the league versus what actually happened. And how did those actual results compare to the rest of the league? So I think it's going to be a very interesting exercise. So all of that is coming up on today's show. But first, a little bit about me. I've been a contributor for the baseball analysis sites Beyond the Box Score and Rotographs, which is part of FanGraphs. I started a Giants podcast called Covecast in 2015 and then joined the Locked On Podcast Network prior to the 2019 season. I'm also a lifelong diehard Giants fan. So jumping into this exercise, which I think is going to be a lot of fun, because if you've been listening to this show for a while, you know that we went through this at the time when these positional power rankings were being released. And you may recall that I said I thought they were pretty much across the board pessimistic and that the Giants had a good chance of outperforming these projections. And that's totally what ended up transpiring. So I want to go back and look at what these projections were and then look at what actually happened. And then maybe talk a little bit, you know, use it as a moment of reflection for if I think that's a sustainable change or if they're due to go back and regress to where they were or just whatever the case may be, we'll just analyze it all along the way. So starting at first base, because that's the position that FanGraphs starts with. As I said in the intro, the Giants were projected to be the 12th best first base group in Major League Baseball, which is pretty good, 12th out of 30 teams. So it gets a lot worse from there. But they projected the Giants to get first base production out of Brandon Belt, Wilmer Flores, and Pablo Sandoval, those three exclusively. And between them, just 0.7 wins above replacement in 60 games. Now, all of that was projected to come from Brandon Belt, as Wilmer Flores and Sandoval were each projected at 0.0 wins above replacement. Brandon Belt was projected at a 333 weighted on base average, and that sounds complicated, but it's really not a complicated metric. Suffice it to say, it's just an all-encompassing offensive metric, but it's not park-adjusted, and it's not like weighted runs created plus, where league average is set to some number like 100. The average weighted on-base average is always going to be the league average on-base percentage. So the league average on-base percentage these days is around 325. So 333 for Belt, roughly a league average offensive projection. It's a little more clear to say he was projected to have a 245 average, a 350 on base percentage, and a 430 slugging. So anyway, how did the Giants actually fare at first base? Well, instead of being 12th best, they were third best in all of baseball behind only the Braves, who had Freddie Freeman, the likely National League MVP, and the White Sox, who had Jose Abreu with a career year. So the Giants ended up with 2.5 Fangraphs wins above replacement compared to their projection of 0.7. So their actual WAR ended up 3.6 times higher than the projection here. So my quick analysis is that even I didn't see this coming. Brandon Belt, when he came back from his heel injury to start the year, he looked completely helpless at the plate, and even the most devout Belt fans were ready to move on from him, but he ended up just going on a tear basically through the end of the season, just a sustained run of excellence. He ended up hitting .309 with a .425 on base and .591 slugging, a .427 weighted on base average, so about 100 points higher there than his projection. And that number, among qualified first basemen or first basemen who had some significant number of plate appearances, like 100, was second only to Freddie Freeman. So just a massive outperformance by Brandon Belt and the Giants at first base compared to what Fangraphs expected them to do prior to the season. Wilmer Flores played a lot of first base also and was really good there. So it wasn't just Brandon Belt. So next up is second base, where, believe it or not, the Giants were projected to be 27th out of 30 teams. Their second base group was projected to be primarily Mauricio Dubón, and then Donovan Solano, Yolmer Sanchez, Wilmer Flores, and Kian Wong getting 8 plate appearances. But primarily Mauricio Dubón. So it definitely didn't end up going that way. And this write-up is a little bit, it's something that at the time irritated me, so I'm going to read it, then you can decide for yourself how to interpret it. Now, talking about Mauricio Dubón, they say, quote, "The former Red Sox prospect, like a lot of minor leaguers, suddenly started hitting for power in 2019, but the Giants, who won't contend this season, ought to give him every opportunity to demonstrate that's not a fluke. Neither Yolmer Sanchez or Donovan Solano are long-term options for the team, and playing Flores only really makes sense if the team is winning. They won't be." End quote. So that definitely got under my skin a little bit at the time, and it proved to be correct that they did contend, period. You know, they contended all the way through, and they probably should have made the postseason. So in a 60-game season, it's really hard for me to support those statements that, quote, "they won't contend," and, quote, "they won't be winning." So how did the Giants actually end up faring at second base? Well, they were fifth in all of baseball. From the 27th best projection to actually fifth at 1.9 wins above replacement. The projection, I don't think I said, was 0.4 wins above replacement. So their actual wins above replacement was 4.7 times higher than the Fangraphs projection there. So Wilmer Flores and Donovan Solano ended up being the primary players at second base, and each of them were just well, well above average offensively. If we set the minimum to 100 plate appearances at second base, Donovan Solano was fifth in all of baseball in weighted on base average at .357, and Wilmer Flores was 10th at .347. So again, just a massive overperformance from the projections by the Giants this year. So coming up in the second half of the show, we'll look at probably two more positions, third base and shortstop, moving around the diamond. But before we get into it, I want to talk about our good friends over at Built Bar. If you know me, you know that I love these bars. And I wouldn't be saying that about these bars if they weren't so low in sugar, because I'm a health conscious person and I'm not going to be eating a protein bar that basically is a candy bar. But what's great about Built Bar is that they taste like a candy bar. They taste like candy, except they're somehow very low in sugar and high in protein. Bars are covered in 100% chocolate and they're soft and easy to chew. I'm going to give an example of the nutritional fact about one of these bars. The peanut butter bar has 19 grams of protein, just 180 calories, and 5 grams of sugar. Built Bar has reset the promo code for this relaunch. There's a free cooler with every purchase while supplies last. Go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at builtbar.com. All right, as promised, here in the second half of the show, going to continue to run through these FanGraphs positional power rankings that were done before the season. I hope you were listening at the time before the season when we went through these position by position. I talked about what the projection was. Maybe I read the excerpt and said pretty much for every position, I think the Giants could be better than this. I think this is an overly pessimistic view. And I hope that next time, if we see something like this, we can know not to, you know, read into these too much, that, you know, sometimes having insider knowledge of these teams and what's going on and how they were going to utilize platoons effectively and how that could mean overperforming certain guys' track records, how the hitting coaches could make an impact. I think now, next year, and we'll look at this eventually, it's going to be a long offseason, but the performance of the Giants' hitters in just 60 games was not a fluke. And one way to demonstrate that is to look at future projections and see, did the performance in the small sample of a 60-game season move the needle in terms of what these projections are now saying about these players? Because if they're still projecting the same thing that they were doing preseason, that they were projecting preseason, that means that the projections aren't buying into the new elevated performance. But as we'll see, pretty much across the board, guys like Donovan Solano, Brandon Belt, Mike Yastrzemski, Mauricio Dubon, their projections have improved moving forward. So the computer algorithms do buy what they did this year. So we'll definitely get into that at a later date. But just moving along in these preseason projections, I want to look at third base next, because that's just the order in which they did this. Catcher might have actually been the best place to start, but we'll do that. We'll lump it with the outfielders probably tomorrow. So at third base, the Giants were projected to be 25th in baseball in wins above replacement. This is probably a position where I said I thought this was more fair and something I didn't really expect Longoria to suddenly elevate his game to a significant extent. But they certainly projected him to be the primary third baseman, having 197 plate appearances. Next closest would have been Donovan Solano at 28 plate appearances. But between Longoria, Solano, Flores, and Sandoval, 0.6 wins above replacement, with 0.5 coming from Evan Longoria, and a weighted on base average projection of 310, so below average offense from Longoria. And that's kind of, I probably said at the time, fair. But let's see, how did they end up doing? They were 18th in all of baseball with 0.8 wins above replacement. And so pretty much right in line. Yeah, they got 0.8. The projection was 0.6. Evan Longoria specifically ended up with a 308 weighted on base average, and the projection was 310. So that they nailed it. And, you know, as I said, I'm sure at the time, it seemed like an accurate projection, and it was. It ended up being 18th out of 25th with their 0.8 wins above replacement. I guess some other teams underperformed at third base, but the Giants kind of came in right where you would expect, which is not the worst, but not very good. All right, moving on to shortstop, the Giants were again projected to be 25th, with Brandon Crawford getting the Lions' share of playing time, 210 plate appearances, next closest Mauricio Dubon at 31, then Donovan Solano with 8 plate appearances. So pretty much exclusively Crawford, and a total from this group of 0.7 wins above replacement as the projection. Brandon Crawford's projected weighted on base average of 296, being significantly below average. Remember, the average is going to be the league average on base percentage, which is around 325. I'd have to look but that's generally what it's been the last few years. So well below average offense, leading to the 25th best WAR projection from shortstop. So what did they actually do and what did Crawford do? But actually, before I look, I would have said that this was probably fair as well. Maybe a little bit better because I thought they would platoon Crawford somewhat and that he wouldn't face tough left-handed pitching if it was going to really drag down his offensive production. Thought Dubon and Solano would probably play against lefties and that they could probably outperform this by a little bit, but not by too much. So what did they end up doing? Well, they were 16th out of 30 teams. So right in the middle at 1.2 wins above replacement. So really, they did outperform their projection, but not by very much, by half a win above replacement. However, the way they did it was not what I expected. What happened was Brandon Crawford ended up having a really good offensive season where he was 12% better than average. His weighted on base average was 334 compared to the projection of 296. So all in all, just another outperformance, overperformance from the projections. But it's going to get really interesting when we start looking at outfielders. I think Mike Yastrzemski, I haven't looked in a while at what they projected him to do, but it was very pessimistic, just totally not buying into what he did in 2019, which was that he was a really solid performer for them and really established himself as an everyday guy in the second half of the 2019 season after the All-Star break. He was phenomenal. Yet, if memory serves, the projection was very pessimistic on him. I certainly said that he could outperform that, and my goodness, did he ever. So we'll get into that tomorrow, and we'll also talk about other projections here. We'll look at catcher, left field, center field. We also have starting pitchers, relief pitchers to get to. The designated hitter, that was a big one. So all of that is going to be coming up on future episodes. But for now, I hope you enjoyed this episode. I hope you can see that, in fact, as much as I love data and projections, sometimes we have to look at them and try to understand maybe if there's an area, a blind spot for these projections. And I really think there was coming into the season. I don't think it was that surprising that we saw all these outperformances, overperformances across the board. So really looking forward to continuing this process. We'll look at Dickerson, whoever was projected to be the starting center fielder. I don't even know. Billy Hamilton. I don't know if Dubon was projected at second, it was someone else at center. So Dickerson, Pence, Ruff, Yastrzemski, starting pitchers, Joey Bart, a lot more projections to get into tomorrow. So come back for that and we'll talk all about it. Remember to get this show every weekday. You need to hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so already. Once again, my name is Ben Kaspic. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Kaspic. That's K-A-S-P-I-C-K. If you enjoyed the show, please consider rating it or leaving a review. Whatever you can do is very much appreciated. Thank you so much for listening, and until then, we'll see you next time.